If it's locally owned,
it's Copper Road.
Organically grown,
it's Copper Road.
Your heart will warm,
it's Copper Road.
Got that hometown charm,
it's Copper Road.
Conversations with the Mayors is brought to you by the Chamber for a Greater Chapel Hill Carrboro. They're encouraging you to put down your mouse and get out of the house. Local businesses are inviting you to mask up, buy local, and engage in safe commerce. Head online and visit carolinachamber.org to learn more about the Chamber and Chamber membership. Lydia Lavelle is the mayor of Carrboro, and she joins us here on the phone for another round of Conversations with the Mayors. Mayor, thank you so much for being with us today. How are you?
Good, Aaron. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Townofcarrboro.org for more information on Carrboro Town Government. Get the video from this past town council meeting from a few days ago. We'll talk about that. A few kind of big items on the agenda for this week. They've got another one coming up next week with just one really big item on the agenda, but it is a significant one, a continuing discussion of the 203 project. So we'll talk about both of those, but today happens to be the day that Orange County is continuing the process of reopening some things, playgrounds in particular, and some outdoor spaces to kind of continue that process of reopening things after and still in the midst of COVID-19. So what can you tell us about the latest development today?
Yeah, so, you know, with the governor's 2.5 order, a lot more services, a lot more places were able to open last week. And here in Orange County, which I believe you and I even talked about this last Friday, mm-hmm. that there were several parks and recreation facilities that we intended on opening, but just kind of making sure that everything was in place before they opened. And so in particular in Carrboro, I know that now you can reserve, our picnic shelters. You can play on our playgrounds. Now, these are reopened as of today. You can go to the dog park at Hank Anderson Park. The bicycle pump track tracks are open now at Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Park off of Hillsborough Road. The tennis courts, where we urged just single play before, now we're allowing like doubles play. And then the other is that our fields are open. Our baseball fields, our softball fields, our soccer fields, volleyball courts, basketball courts. Now, I think what's really important is for people to really still understand that, you know, everything is the same as it was in March, really, in terms of the coronavirus being with us. But we want people to exercise caution when they're, you know, outside participating in activity, and try not to have body contact, try not to be close together. In some instances, wear face coverings if you're going to be close together for long periods of time. And so we just felt like it was important to go ahead and open up those outdoor places as per the governor's order, because the health benefits are there. And I guess, you know, as places have opened up around the country, there's not been any kind of data out there to suggest that these activities are especially troublesome in terms of, you know, spreading the disease.
Is there a perfect COVID sport where everyone is wearing face coverings already and there's just no physical contact at all? I can't think of one.
Golf, maybe.
Golf,
yeah.
Yeah,
if you're not riding in a cart with someone.
If you're wearing your golf helmet.
Yes, if you're wearing your golf. And of course, you know, people have been walking, jogging, running, hiking,
right,
backpacking, camping, all those things. But I mean, every one of these, you know, you really do kind of think about each of them. For instance, I think one of the most exciting on this list for me is, the bicycle pump track.
Yep.
I mean, gosh, we barely had those open before we had to close them down, right? And it's not so much really even the bicyclists, but the folks who are going to watch. And so, again, that outdoor gathering limit in Orange County is still 25 people. And so, you know, if a large crowd starts to gather, kind of watching kids while they're riding, people need to be cognizant of those numbers. And I know, I know in Chapel Hill this is happening. I'm pretty sure it is in Carrboro too, but there should be signage like going up to kind of tell people, be aware of the outdoor gathering limits, because we don't want large crowds. I'm not sure when organized recreational play will even happen until, you know, it may be right now it's just pick up, you know, go out and, you know, hit some baseballs, go out and shoot some hoops. But I imagine we're still a ways off from having any kind of organized league play of any sort that would then bring in lots of numbers and perhaps lots of spectators.
Speaking with Mayor Lydia Lavelle, and again, townofcarborough.org for more information on town government, including the Carborough Town Council, who met a few days ago on Tuesday with kind of four big items on the agenda this week: discussion of economic development, climate change, affordable housing, and policing and equity in policing. And all of those are huge topics individually. Town Council tackled all four on Tuesday. So what's the summary of the meeting?
Yeah, we sure did. It was really informative. And the economic development item was interesting, I think, Aaron, because we had our new economic development director, John Hartman Brown, just kind of talk to us as a council, but also, you know, individually responding, you know, what are our goals for economic development over the next 10, 20 years in Carborough? Just kind of broadly, he wanted just to have a conversation, I think, really with us, because again, he's kind of new to the area, and he's doing a great job of going around and meeting people and kind of understanding our guiding documents and our ethos and our, you know, kind of values. And many of us kind of pointed him to recent reports we've had around our local economy, recent reports that like Annette Stone had presented to us around updating those. We also, you know, referred him to, it's so old now, but, you know, Vision 2020 had anticipated doubling commercial footage in the downtown area and perhaps setting some new metrics in the coming years in terms of because our affordable housing goals are very specific, you know, percentages, numbers, et cetera. Well, what are our percentages, numbers, et cetera, that we would like to achieve in terms of economic development in the town? Because that's how we, you know, relieve the tax burden on our homeowners. So we talked a bit about that. All the other issues that flood almost every topic we have around equity, climate change, resiliency, you know, those kind of came forth. We also, I talked a little bit specifically around the upcoming comprehensive plan, and several people mentioned this also, but around the comprehensive plan, which I hope out of that we're able to, as a community, really identify the areas in town where we do want to push for more growth and seek out growth, maybe mixed use, maybe using, you know, tax credits, but make it so that when a developer or a person who's a landowner comes to us and says, hey, I have this property, what can I do here? We can give them an answer. And we haven't always been able to do that in recent years. And, you know, and part of that comprehensive planning exercise will be perhaps identifying areas of town where we don't want to develop. Maybe we want to maintain green space or whatever, but I think that's an important piece because we have areas in town where we could focus our economic efforts. You know, Damon Siles has talked about this a bit, and so have I, but for example, our Jones Ferry Road corridor, you know, that's one that is really ripe for some type of a small area plan. We also heard some, just real quick, we heard some interest from a few board members too around the property we own off of Old 86, which we have in the past talked about having maybe affordable workspace or Maker's Village or something like that. That idea came up again a little bit. We still have some challenges with that, but I'm not sure how much John has heard about that idea or explored that.
A lot has happened this year, obviously, and I think the two biggest ones, especially this summer, have been first and foremost COVID-19, and then, of course, the ongoing protests and demonstrations against systemic racism, really bringing that issue front and center and underscoring the urgency of it. How, if at all, how do those two things change your vision for economic development long-term in Carborough? Like, does your vision for the next 20 years, is it different now than it was 6 months ago?
Yeah, you know, some board members opined that the coronavirus has kind of changed the outlook of economic development, perhaps forever, or certainly for the extended future. I kind of take a different view. I think that people, you know, if anything, I think that once there is a vaccine and people are able to reengage again, I think we will treasure that time we can have like that more than ever. And I don't think this means that everyone will move to remote working, to being more kind of, you know, antisocial is not the word I mean, but you know what I mean, not being around people.
Right.
Although there has been a really good, there have been really good studies about how this is kind of a boost for rural communities, this kind of working remotely and so forth. But I think we'll have some kind of a hybrid of the two, in that we will still want co-working space, right? Like right now we don't at all. I mean, Perch is one of the businesses in Carrboro that didn't make it because people don't want to be in close proximity to other people in co-working space. But I think once we have the vaccine and we're able to be around each other again, I think that will survive. That'll be back, you know. I'm sure there are some occupations and some companies that will analyze this and say, hey, you know, online works better, or move some component online. But I think we'll have some lessons learned from this. Perhaps always have it in the back of your head that things could shift in a minute, and what would we do if it did, you know, to have that ability to do it. So with regard to COVID, I think that's important. With regard to, you know, racial equity and the demonstrations we've had this summer and the continued, you know, focus on systemic racism, we did talk about that in our efforts toward how we've started our roundtable of minority businesses and how we want to continue to uplift those persons in our community and continue to seek out ways to perhaps, you know, work with, you know, community colleges or work with other places to provide, you know, educational opportunities and other ways of, you know, getting funding perhaps to be able to help them be successful as they launch their businesses or as they continue to maintain businesses during the time of COVID. So that's been something here that we have been able to focus on during COVID that we didn't focus on before. And so that's, I think that's a good thing.
And you mentioned the importance of working remotely. Is there an update on development of Google Fiber in Carrboro? Is that construction still ongoing?
Yeah, everyone, I think, is really particularly excited about Google Fiber since we're dropping meetings and having slow bandwidth. First of all, I did get a little update from our IT person to be able to share with you, but let me just share a little bit of it with our audience. So Google Fiber has finished all of the core and distribution paths of their network in Carrboro, including access to almost all neighborhoods. And over the last couple of months, they have been working on, I guess, drops to the homes in different neighborhoods. That would be the final step before they then are able to, you know, open it up and offer the 1 gigabyte, I guess, internet service to the homes. And there still are some areas in our town that were hard for them to kind of get through due to rock. I mean, imagine that. You know, we know rocks all around. But they're hoping to finish that up within the next month. They're doing some final fiber optic splicing. And I believe a couple of months ago, they did start signing up some neighborhoods. Now, I'm not sure which neighborhoods. But you can, I know not my neighborhood because I Googled it as part of this to prepare for this, but you can go actually on our website and click. And if your neighborhood is one that's ready to be able to go ahead and try to look into the idea of getting Google Fiber, you can go put in your neighborhood and see if it's available in your neighborhood, because they kind of do it, you know, neighborhood by neighborhood. And so we don't know. Here's one thing, because people ask, when are we going to get ours? You know, when is it going to be here? And there's really no pattern in when they bring up one neighborhood versus another. It just kind of depends on how the construction kind of goes together and everything. But the bottom line is they should continue to progress to cover a good part of Carrboro probably in the next half a year or so, next, you know, 5-6 months.
Speaking with Mayor Lydia Lavelle, again, townofcarrboro.org for more information on town government. We've been talking about this past week's meeting 3 days ago on Tuesday. You got a meeting coming up of the town council this coming Tuesday with the 203 project is kind of the big item on the agenda, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. When I looked at the agenda, which I haven't read the packet yet, but I did see the basic topics. You know, as I told you, this past week we had all these reports. Well, this week coming up, we also have a few more reports before 203. So we have, you know, our monthly stormwater report, which we haven't gotten all summer, so that'll be good. And then we have a few other reports from some of our departments, including an economic development monthly report, which we've usually gotten regularly. Yeah, the 203 project, we don't have the material in the packet as specifically what that is. But we do know that we gave direction at one of our summer meetings. We gave direction to staff to go ahead and to not include space for an incubator. And we had a question, kind of a decision point to make as to whether we wanted to make the building a little bit bigger, a little bit taller, but a little more expensive. And the whole, as a majority of the council felt nervous doing that with COVID, just finances and everything. The building is, it's enough of a budgetary crunch that we're going to be dealing with. And so in any event, we're going to get a presentation on Tuesday night on the updated, like on some design concepts, on the updated programs for the building, and a schedule for when we're going to be engaging the public and how we're going to engage them. So really excited to kind of, get that update, because that's, as you know, it's been a long time coming.
And again, townofcarborough.org for more information on that and other projects. Speaking with Mayor Lydia Lavellin as we wrap up, anything else going on in town that folks want to know about?
I guess one final point I'll make is one of the items we did have at our town council meeting on Tuesday was that we received some reports from a report from our police department, from our chief Horton, and they have created on the police website. This information was available in different places, but they've kind of made it so it's really, really accessible on the police webpage. And it's entitled Public Information. And if you click on it, you can get to not just the policy and procedure manual, but annual reports and also quarterly reports, as well as data from, like the FBI and uniform crime report data. So folks who are looking for that information, it's even easier to find than ever.
And again, you can get more information on town government online at the town's website, townofcarborough.org. That's Conversations with the Mayor's Mayor Lydia Lavelle. As always, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.